down. I know a couple are out of town, but I'm glad that you're here this morning. Valerie just gave me a note about something, a community gathering. This Valerie on the front row here. It's a community gathering at Allen Park, Saturday, April 17th, from 12 p.m. to 5 p.m. And this is sponsored by the We Care Outreach Ministry, Tabernacle of Truth. So that's the 17th, 12 p.m. to 5 p.m. Free food, games, music, and fun. Everyone is welcome. So if you have any questions, you can see this right here. And I'll give that back to Valerie after the lesson. Alrighty, this morning we're going to look for a few minutes over in Psalm 77. Psalm 77. Good to have Reese with us here this morning, and Annie's here, and we miss Reese a lot. She can't get here as much as we'd like, but we're glad that she's here when she can be. And Annie's with us. Annie's over here on this side. And we're just glad to see all of you here. And this morning, we're going to have a little lesson on something that I have chosen to call Remember, Meditate, and Talk. Remember, Meditate, and Talk. As you're turning to Psalm 77, one of the most encouraging verses in the Bible over in the New Testament, I'm not going to ask you to turn there, but it's a verse that's over in Philippians, and it says, whatsoever is true and honest and just and pure and lovely and of good report, anything that has virtue or praise, think on these things. Think on these things. And it's a verse that helps us, encourages us to think about the good things in life, and it's always been important to be positive. You know that. Psychologists and even scientists tell us that what we put into our minds will eventually come out in our behavior. And so, and that's true in our spiritual life as well. It's important to dwell upon those things that will strengthen our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's important to stay in the Word of God, because sometimes we'll go through life and we'll get discouraged and despondent. And we'll find ourselves in a period of aloneness, and that's where Asaph was, who wrote this psalm this morning. This man had a head knowledge of who God was. He knew God had been faithful to the people of God, the children of Israel, over the years, and I think from the tone of the language he used, he remembered how God was faithful even in his own life. But whatever situation that he was in, and we don't know the details of why this man was so encouraged and why he was despondent and why his faith was weak. But we do know that he tried to seek encouragement from God. At first, he could not, but he kept on remembering, meditating, and talking, and eventually was able to do so. Start reading with me in verse number 1. This is Psalm 77, verse 1. To the chief musician, to Jeduthun, a psalm of Asaph. I cried unto God with my voice, even unto God with my voice, and he gave ear unto me. In the day of my trouble, I sought the Lord. My sore ran in the night and ceased not. My soul refused to be comforted. I remembered God and was troubled. I complained and my spirit was overwhelmed. Selah. Thou holdest mine eyes waking. I am so troubled that I cannot speak. I have considered the days of old, the years of ancient times. I call to remembrance my song in the night. I commune with mine own heart, and my spirit made diligent search. Will the Lord cast off forever? And will he be favorable no more? Is his mercy clean gone forever? Doth his promise fail forevermore? Hath God forgotten to be gracious? Hath he in anger shut up his tender mercies? Selah. This is the dilemma that this man found himself in. He remembered, he had a memory of God being there for his people in the past. But now, in the midst of his depression and his discouragement, whatever it was about, we don't know. In the midst of his depression and his discouragement at the moment, he didn't feel like God was concerned about him whatsoever. Would you pray with me? Father, we are in this passage here, and we're just talking about the importance of coming to your word and the importance of disciplining our minds and our own selves to stay in the word of God and to do it in the manner of prayer. God, I pray that you would help me to convey this thought and do it in a way that's honoring and glorying to you. In Jesus' name, amen. When we read in the New Testament about how the writers of the New Testament felt about the scriptures that they had, which was included the Psalms, we can tell that they put a whole bunch of trust and faith in those scriptures. 2 Peter verse 1, chapter 1, verse 19 says, "We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed," listen to this, "as unto a light that shineth in a dark place until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts." I think the writers of the New Testament placed their faith and trust in the scriptures. They referred to the Psalms. There's quotations all throughout the New Testament from the Pentateuch and from Proverbs and from the prophets. They considered God's word to be the answer for their life. They considered God's word to hold the key for them to understand. And so here in Psalm 77, Asaph is praying and he's struggling with this darkness and this discouragement that he's got in his head, in his life. And he said in verse 1, "I cried unto God with my voice, even unto God with my voice, and he gave ear unto me." Now, one of the first things he does in his life and in his time of depression was pray. He prayed. We get sometimes so distracted in life, and I think sometimes we tend to look for help, you know, with our pastor and with our friends and with, you know, we get so busy that we forget to pray. And Asaph prayed to God, and you'll notice here the way he said it. He said, "I cried unto God with my voice, even unto God with my voice." He repeated it. Now, anytime a statement is repeated in the scriptures, it's done for emphasis. For emphasis. And we can be sure here that Asaph's prayer was not a quick statement to God, you know, like we sit down to dinner sometime and rattle off a quick prayer, bless the food and this and that, you know. No, I think Asaph was crying unto God, like the scripture says. And he repeatedly did that. It was a conscious and intentional effort to plea for God's help in whatever situation that he was in. Now, he didn't try to find an answer by getting on the internet. He didn't have internet, but you know what I'm trying to say. He didn't try to shake off the trouble as dismiss the trouble as something else. He didn't try to seek help in a bottle or you know, some drugs or whatever. He prayed. And we can tell from his language, he cried as he prayed. How many of us actually take the time to pour our hearts out before God? We're in this situation, and we say we pray, but are we on our knees before him, pouring out our emotions to him for this situation? Do we believe in his power that much? Do we believe in his power enough to cry and to repeatedly seek God's help? He says in verse 2, "In the day of my trouble I sought the Lord. My sore ran in the night and ceased not." Now, his sore is his problem or whatever's going on in his life, his discouragement, his distress. He says, my affliction ran through the night. It never stopped, and my soul refused to be comforted. And in verse 3, "I remembered God, and I was troubled." Now, that phrase is troubling to me. I remembered God, and I was troubled. What he thought about God instead of finding comfort from him was that he couldn't communicate with him, that he couldn't get an answer from him, that God didn't care about the situation that he was in. I think of Job when he was in the midst of his affliction, how he said, "I am troubled at his presence. When I consider, I am afraid of him." So Asaph and Job were in similar situations here. When he remembered God, his thoughts were not pleasant and comforting, but they were thoughts of terror instead of comfort, of unsureness. He says in verse 4, "Thou holdest mine eyes waking. I am so troubled that I cannot speak." He says, "God, you're keeping me from sleeping. You're keeping me from having my thoughts well enough to speak." He says, "I've considered the days of old and the years of ancient times." Now here he's starting to think about what God's done in the past. And knock on wood here. Hello, this is an important first step. You say, "Why is it important first step, Dwayne?" Well, because we're human and we forget. I've forgotten far more than I remember. And sometimes when I start remembering what God has done for me and how ungrateful I must be in my actions toward him, I am ashamed. And Asaph, all of a sudden, starts in verse number 5, he starts to think about past times of victory and success when God heard his prayer and came to his aid. And he says in verse 6, "I call to remembrance my song in the night." Here he says, "I remember when God, in my distress during the night, he provided sweet songs of relief. I listened to his sweet music. His answers were like sweet songs of my soul, to my soul." So here Asaph is just at wit's end, it seems like, just searching. What's going on here in my life? And he starts to commune with himself. He starts to, in fact, he says there, the rest part of verse 6, "I call to remembrance my song in the night. I commune with mine own heart, and my spirit made diligent search." Now, you know what that phrase, "I commune with mine own heart," means? He starts talking to himself. Well, some of us are pretty good at that, you know. Before the service, I like to walk around and shake a few hands, and sometimes I'll be coming up to somebody and they won't see me, but they'll be talking and there won't be a soul around. But we're pretty good at that. I talk to myself, but that's because sometimes I need expert advice. But listen, Asaph did something very important here. And don't think he's crazy, and don't think you'll be crazy if you're doing this. But we've got these brains and these emotions and these passions, and somebody say amen, because we do. We do. And we need to encourage ourselves. Hey, listen, God gave us two ears and one mouth. So when you start talking to yourself, you have the best of both worlds. You got double ears to listen to what you're saying. And here Asaph uses it to encourage himself and to remember about what God has done in the past. So he begins to talk to himself about God's promise and God's protection. And he says in verse 7, "Will the Lord cast off forever? And will he be favorable no more? Is his mercy clean, gone forever? Doth his promise fail forevermore?" I tell you, when you're in the situation like Asaph is in, it's easy to get discouraged, isn't it? It's easy to forget. This is a spiritually dark place, and he's not easily remembering what God has done for him. But just because he doesn't remember it doesn't mean it didn't happen. And that's what we need to confide. We need to take comfort in the scriptures that reminds us of what God does. Listen to this verse. It's Psalms 103, verse 17. "But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him, and his righteousness unto children's children." Man, that sounds pretty sure. That sounds pretty sure. These are the things that we must tell ourselves. We must commune with ourselves. We must talk to ourselves. Now try to do it in a way where you're not going to get thrown in the crazy house, maybe. But Asaph is talking to himself, and he's reminding himself of how good God's been in the past. He says in verse 9, Hath God forgotten to be gracious? Hath he in anger shut up his tender mercies? Selah. He's thinking, has God stopped being kind to people? Has God stopped being merciful to people? And we know he hasn't. And we I think when we get discouraged, we deep down know that he hasn't as well, but it's just something we need to be reminded of. So this man, Asaph, he's awash in all these questions and all these doubts about God caring for himself. And it happens to the best of us. I mean, sometimes you can be in here on a Sunday and be on top of the world, and sometimes you go out on Monday and you get so discouraged you can't stand it. Sometimes you can think that you're right on the right track with your faith and your life and your church life and everything. You feel so good about it, and then just it can be days later to where you think you're not in the right place and that God's not taking care of you and that you have failed God, and it can go just like that because we're human and we think sometimes with stinking thinking, and we get all twisted and bent out of shape and we get off the right trail. It happens to the best of us. It happens to the best of us. But we need to remember, God knows that as well. He knows how fickle we are. And I believe that God relishes in the fact that his people call out and cry out to him for help. So what does Asaph do? We're gonna fast forward here to verse number 17. We're going to read some verses, and we're going to fast forward. Did I say 17? No, let's fast forward to 13. I'm sorry. I'm going to read this pretty fast because I'm running out of time. But listen to the tenor and the attitude of Asaph's the rest of this chapter. Thy way, O God, is in the sanctuary. Who is so great a God as our God? Now, just in that verse alone, something's changed. He's thinking different. Here, for the first 9 verses, he has sat here thinking, where is God? God's forgot me. He doesn't remember me. He's helped me in the past, but he's not helping me now. And all of a sudden in verse 13, he says, Thy way, O God, is in the sanctuary. What does that mean? I just mean, your way, O God, is holy. Whatever you're doing, your way is holy. He says in verse 14, Thou art the God that doest wonders. Thou hast declared thy strength among the people. Thou hast with thine arm redeemed thy people, the sons of Jacob and Joseph, Selah. The waters saw thee, O God. The waters saw thee. They were afraid. The depths also were troubled. Listen to the confidence that Asaph has in God in these verses. The clouds poured out water. The skies sent out a sound. Thine arrows also went abroad. The voice of thy thunder was in the heaven. The lightnings lightened the world. The earth trembled and shook. Thy way is in the sea, and thy path in the great waters, and thy footsteps are not known. Thou leddest thy people like a flock by the hand of Moses and Aaron. So all of a sudden, from the first 9 verses to verse 13, to where we've just read, he's got all this confidence. So when I was reading this, I thought, wait a minute, what happened? And the key is in those 3 verses between verses 1 through 9 and 13 through 20, and it's verse 10, 11, and 12. Look and see what happened. He says in verse 10, And I said, This is my infirmity, but I will remember the years of the right hand of the Most High. I think Asaph came to himself. We see that phrase in the Bible many times. I think Asaph came to himself and he says, hey, this is my lot. This is my infirmity. This is where I am. I'm discouraged. I'm not in a good place. I'm not climbing the mountain. I'm in the valley. And he says, I've got to give this thing to the Lord. He says, I will remember the years of the most right hand of the Most High. I think it's so important for me and you when we get discouraged to actually get so, I'm just at a loss of words this morning, but get so involved with praying to God and seeking His face and talking to yourself about God's goodness and His remembrances. He says in verse 11, I will remember the works of the Lord. Now in verse 10, he says, I will remember the years of the right hand. In verse 11, I will remember the works of the Lord. Surely I will remember thy wonders of old. And then he says, I will meditate also of all thy work and talk of thy doings. Now that word talk right there, they tell us that in the Hebrew word that's translated talk to means ponder, especially with oneself. Ponder. Think on this deal. Ponder on it. So earlier in the chapter, in verses 5 and 6, Asaph had tried to soothe his fears and rebuild his faith by remembering what God had done for him, but it didn't work. But he kept on doing it. He persevered, if you will. He did it again. He repeated it. And I think the reason he was able to do that is because he remembered. He started remembering what God had done for him in the past. He got his brain that gets so messed up, just like mine and yours does sometimes. Our brain gets so messed up that we need to go to something solid. And that solidity, that solid ground, that good place is the Word of God. Asaph, in his mind, went back to the times when God had performed and prospered his people. He took care of them. And Asaph had to get over that discouragement and that depression. And he knew the way he had to do it was to get his brain in another realm, if you will. Back in 13, in verse 13, he says, Thy way, O God, is in the sanctuary. Sanctuary there just means a sacred place or a thing, a sense of holiness. He's simply saying, your way, God, is holy, and I'm going to trust it. So today, where do we find His holiness? Well, we find it in His Word. We find it in His house. We find it in prayer with His people. That's where you find the holiness of God. First of all, His Word, and then in His house and with His people. Now, what's sad about today is, for years and years and years, we went to church 3 times a week and had meetings and revivals and all this stuff, And now the Christian cultures were going down from 3 services a week to 2, and a lot of churches are down to 1. And that's that much less time that we're in His Word. It's scary. It's scary. Asaph had to remember who God was and what He had done for him. And he admitted he didn't understand it. That's why he says in verse 19, Thy way is in the sea, and thy path in the great waters, and thy footsteps are not known. He says, I don't understand this thing. I mean, your way, God, it might as well be out there in that big old ocean. There's no way I can understand it. There's no way I can figure it out. Your ways are so holy and so immense and so deep. When I read this part of this chapter, I thought of Psalm 139. I'm going to read you a couple of verses from there. The psalmist David says, O Lord, Thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my downsitting and mine uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. Thou compassest my path and my lying down and art acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, Thou knowest it altogether. Thou hast beset me behind and before and laid thine hand upon me. And then he says, such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain unto it. When you start thinking about who God is and just what he can do and how he has put this world into place and the day that we'll stand before him and all the events that will take place, man, it blows your mind. We see our sicknesses and our depression and our discouragement with our knowledge and with what we think is possible. But God doesn't think like us. He's got His own way of thinking. So Asaph remembers and he meditates and he starts talking about the deeds and wonders of God in his past. And he was intentional about it. Listen to the way he words this. In verse 11, I will remember the works of the Lord. That's forcing yourself to remember. Surely I will remember thy wonders of old. In verse 12, I will meditate also of all thy work and talk of thy doings. These are intentional, conscious acts. He's determined to do this. He's determined to do this. I think that's how you and I strengthen our faith. You know, when I was growing up, and my preacher would, I'd hear my preacher talking about the end times and the great falling away, and then he would talk about broad is the way that leads to destruction, and narrow is the way that leads to eternal life. As a kid, I would hear those words, and I think, well, how is that possible? We got all these people in church, and you know, God's word is here. And then now that I'm 54 years old and I've been around a few different blocks, I see how that's possible, especially in today's electronic age. We're so distracted. I mean, you know, 350 cable channels or satellite channels or whatever, and phones galore, iPads and computers, and man alive, it's so easy to get distracted from what we need to be doing, and that is intentionally being in God's Word. Without fail. But what do? Well, we have our time. Most of us do. We have our time, and we get into God's Word, and unless something distracts us. And that's why I've told you over the years that when I first started teaching the lesson, I used my computer and my laptop and all that. And that's a great tool to have. Those are wonderful, wonderful tools to have. But the best study time that I have is with my Bible. Not the Bible on my phone. It's the same one, by the way. But when I'm on my phone, do you want to update this? Oh, you need to update this. The phone rings, I get a text, low battery indicator. It's a million things, Stacy. It's just a million things. And when I can get off to myself with my Bible, when nobody's around and there's no TV going, and I can just do what Asaph did, which was be intentional about talking to yourself about God's works and remembering what he does for his people. Hey, it's really not rocket science, is it? If we do what he did, it's just talking to ourselves and reminding ourselves and forcing ourselves. You say, well, you shouldn't have to do that. Well, yeah, no, we're human. You have to do that. I mean, if you want to be healthy, you have to discipline yourself to be healthy. If you want a college degree, you have to discipline yourself to go get a college degree. You know, if you want to be good at this job, you have to discipline yourself to be good at this job, whatever it is. If you want a front yard that's mowed, you got to discipline yourself to mow it. Well, guess what? If we want to be approved of God and students of Scripture, we have to discipline ourselves to put everything aside and get into the Word of God and give Him a chance to talk to us without any distractions. Would you pray with me? Father, we thank you for Asaph's example.